It's always at this moment you're like, do I have black smeared like like a rock star? Because there's me. But you love me, right? So it's okay. Yeah. Oh, this has been so much fun. Yeah, I'm just so grateful to the Lord for what he's been doing in all of our lives during this conference. And you know what? The great thing is it doesn't have to stop here. You take that presence home with you. Amen. And with such a, it's been, like I was telling Steve, I said, it's been such an unusual way for me to preach and teach, to go so slowly, because normally I would just take a story and you move to the next story and move to the next story. And it was like when the Lord said, no, I want you to do this and do this and this. And I was like, are you sure? But I can see now he's been building. And there are things when you listen to the Lord and you walk in obedience, he does have a plan and he's really good at it. So I'm just so grateful for all he's done, even in my own life through this. And I had planned out the word for this morning because it's kind of been not intense, but yeah, intense, you know, it feels like surgery, you know. And I told the Lord, I want to leave on a little bit lighter note, add a little laughter, a little fun, right? And so he had given me the outline for today. And when I was praying yesterday afternoon and just kind of spending some time in his presence, I felt like, you know, like when somebody has something and they're like, hey, and you're like, oh, what? That's what I felt like the Lord did yesterday, because I had this outline for what I felt like he told me to do, and I felt like he went, look, and I was like, that is so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Just one of those little nuggets. And I like things to be so simple that you can remember them, right? If you make them too complex, it's like, what did she say? You're not going to do that this time, okay? I'm just telling you, girls, it's going to be fun today, all right? So let's get into the word. Today, we're going to be talking about practical peace reminders. Practical peace reminders. And the first piece that we're going to be looking at is peace having to do with the armor of God. And we know that in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, it talks about putting on the full armor of God. Where did I put my Bible somewhere. It's in the back. Oh, thank you. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And then I probably put my glasses somewhere else because, are they? Yeah, they're there. Okay. I will get it all together up here, I promise. Okay, so let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 really quickly. I've got a lot of fun stuff to share, so I told Rose to be over there with my timer. General Electric Power Company. Okay, here we go. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 to start with. If I ever get there, there we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Stand. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places. It does not say we wrestle against husband and children and friends and family members and bosses. We don't struggle against them. It's the principalities and powers, right? Got to make sure we know who our real enemy is. Just kidding. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Stand. In the day of evil, having done all to stand. We've got a lot of standing going on here. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're going to stop there. It does continue on, but this is the point that I want to talk about today. Peace is part of the armor of God, okay? And it's not an accident that it's your shoes. peace is your shoes, okay? And so peace means wholeness and a sound and soundness, which is essential when you're talking about shoes. Has anyone ever put on a pair of shoes that were not sound and they were not whole? And you know, because when you got home, you felt it from the feet up, right? It's important to have on the right shoes. And Paul, when he was talking about the armor of God, his example in that day were the Roman guards, okay? So when he was describing each piece of the armor, he was using something that the Ephesian church could understand, and that was the Romans that were in control of that area. So he was telling them, put on the armor of God. So he was saying, guys, you know how the guards, this is what they wear, okay? So Roman guards wore sandals, but they weren't cute sandals, okay? They were normally some kind of leather, maybe wood combination, and then they would have leather strapping, okay? We can all agree with that. That's like a sandal, right? Until you get to what's underneath the sandal. And it was very common in those days for them to add spikes from a half an inch to 1.5 inches on the bottom of their sandals as a guard or as a warrior. That was because it would help to keep them stable when they were running in the sandy conditions that were in that part of the world, okay? So it would help keep them stable, but it was also something that was used as a weapon. So when somebody get close and they're fighting and they get too close, ka-chow, right? I mean, who wants to face that? I don't want to face that, right? I don't even want to face a high heel sandal, right? It's got one of them pointy things. I mean, some of those could be weapons these days, right? But it's on our feet, and peace keeps us grounded. When we're walking in peace, our steps are secure. When you're walking in peace, it's a weapon against fear. We are grounded. We're well balanced and we're not easily thrown. I also think it's important this, because when you are wearing peace on your feet, have you ever tried to take someone's shoes off their feet when they're standing? How possible is that? Not very, right? Well, guess what? When you are spiritually standing with your feet shod with the gospel of peace, when the devil comes up to you and tries to take off your peace shoes, you tell it, bring it on. Bring it on. You try to get these shoes off this 100 and, well, you know. Even if it was 100 pounds, right? Tell the devil, absolutely not. You're not taking my peace. It's right under there. And I am standing. How many times does it stay stand? Like 4 or 5 times? Stand. When you've done all the stand. And then withstand. And then stand some more. Why is it important to stand? Because your feet have peace. And when you're standing on peace, you are grounded, you're complete, you're whole. Think about all the things that we've been talking about, peace. That's on your feet. You are not a pushover. You know why? Because on the bottom of those gospel of peace shoes you got, there are some spikes that are not just there for weapons, but they're there to hold you down. So the wind may blow and the devil might try to push, but you're like this, right? Mm-mm. No. You know, when someone says, oh man, devil's trying to take my peace, I want to tell them, really, really, girl, you got your shoes on? Yeah. How's he going to get to your feet when you're standing on the word of God in peace? He can't get your shoes off. That's why it's important for us to stand. And when you've done all, to stand some more. You know, sometimes you read those verses like, why does he keep saying stand, stand, stand? Because if you're standing, nobody can take your peace away. Nobody can take it away. And the cool part about this is it's a piece of armor, but it's what you wear. So when you get up in the morning, girls, do you get dressed and walk out of the house with no shoes on? No, we don't. We got some kind of footwear on our feet, right? So every morning now, when you get up and you put on your shoes or your sandal or your fancy boots, I want you to say to yourself, I am stepping into peace. I am stepping into peace. And that peace doesn't come off. That peace doesn't come off. Even when you come home and you do take off your shoes, you remind yourself, those shoes came off, but that peace is still there. Amen. So peace is what you wear. practically speaking. The next part, let's go over to Galatians, just a couple books over. Galatians 5:22. And it says this, 5:22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what? Peace. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law." Peace is a fruit. And when we make Jesus Lord of our lives, that is part of the package that comes. It's a piece of peace. It's the good kind, right? It's part of a whole of the fruit of the Spirit. But we have that peace in us. It's a gift, right? It's a gift. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in us, and with that Holy Spirit comes peace. But peace has to be taken care of. Has anybody ever not taken care of a piece of fruit at their house? It becomes a problem, right? Because if you don't take care of it, if you don't use it, what does it do? It rots.
And then those little ants.
It's ants fall. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It gets ugly, right? It's not a good thing. So if a natural piece of fruit needs to be taken care of, guess what? A spiritual fruit needs to be taken care of. How do you take care of a spiritual fruit? Well, for a natural fruit, you got to tend it. You either got to cut it up or you got to store it someplace, right? Well, we have to get into the Word of God and cut it up and be eating that. So it's giving nutrients, right, to the peace inside of us. We need to be making sure that the choice and the decisions we make in our lives are helping us to enjoy that fruit, not lose that fruit. Okay? So it's important for us to can it, like my mom said yesterday, important for us to can the fruit. Maybe it's getting old, and well, for me, sometimes I like to make breads out of it, you know, like zucchini bread or something that lasts even longer in the freezer, right? So sometimes we have to do something to the fruit in order to keep it. The same thing with the fruit of the Spirit. It has to be tended. We've got to be looking at it and saying, okay, how can I make you last? And part of that is canning the word. So maybe you're like, okay, you know what? I haven't really been dealing much with joy lately. Well, get some joy songs going, right? Yeah. Stir yourself up. That's what Paul tells Timothy. Stir yourself up in your most holy faith. Well, when I stir something, I don't go, If I did that to my cookies, they'd be terrible, okay? Because all the ingredients wouldn't mix together, right? So you got to get in there and stir yourself up, right? So sometimes we have to say, thank you, Jesus. I got the joy of the Lord, and start quoting scriptures and singing songs until we are stirred up, right? Again, you're doing something with the fruit in you. And fruit is not just made for you. It's made to share with someone else. Bless someone else's life with that fruit. Amen? Fruit is what you eat. So we've got what you wear and then what you eat. So every time now you go to grab a piece of fruit, I want you to say to yourself, I have the fruit of peace.
Thank you,
Lord. You know what that means, Lord? I might need to spend a little more time in your word today, just focused on peace, so I can make sure that I'm keeping it cold, so that if I need it to last a little longer, it'll last a little longer. Or maybe you need it to ripen a little bit. So you need to leave it out a little longer and leave the word out a little longer on the table that day. Or maybe, Lord, it's just good. This is real good. I'm going to can this. I'm going to share it with somebody else or save it for later. You see, every time you look at fruit, you're going to look at fruit differently from now on. You're going to think of the fruit of peace. So we wear it on our feet because that's what helps us to stand, right? And then what we eat, what are we feeding on? If we want ourselves to be full of peace, should we be feeding on the negative? Should we be feeding on the rottenness of the world? No. Have you ever noticed, like, when, especially raspberries, man, they're terrible. You get one bad raspberry in there and you literally almost have to throw away the whole carton. Why? Because it spreads. It spreads. And do you ever notice it doesn't spread good berries? And that's just like the devil. He'll try to come in and add some rottenness to your life. So you've got to have your spiritual antennas up and say, that's a rotten piece, out you go, and deal with the problem right then, right there. Don't wait on it. Don't let that rottenness stay with the other fruit. Amen? That wasn't on my notes. That's just extra. All right. So we've got it on our feet is something we wear, and then we have something that we eat. The third thing with practical peace reminders is peace as a protector. Go ahead and open up your Bibles. We're going to flip over again to Philippians. We're just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. All right. Philippians 4. And we're going to start in verse 4. I love this verse. My favorite verse. Well, I got a lot of favorites, but this is a really favorite. Okay. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Every time I read this verse, I can hear Lacey being the first got the advantage of having the word just lamb blasted into her life because, you know, that's all I had. And so everything was, you know, we did all this stuff. Anyway, I can remember her being two years old and I would say, what does it say? And she would say, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. So every time I read that verse and I hear that. And the next one says, let your gentleness be made known to all, or may be known to all men. It's a different translation than I learned it. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, say the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. But there's something we have to do first. And that means you have to back it up. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, we do this all the time throughout our day. Peace is a guard. A guard is one who keeps watch. It's assigned to protect and protects against damage or harm. It's a military term. Peace is not wimpy. It's something with an authority. Peace is a weapon, right? But what do you have to do? First, you have to do your part. And people say, oh, well, there you go. You have to do something and yeah, in order to get peace. Okay, well, when you get in your car, what's the first thing you do?
Engine.
Well, before your engine. Seatbelt, right? That's what we do. We get in our car, we put our seatbelt on, right? Why do you do that?
Protection.
You do that. Most of us do it now without thinking, right? Most of us in this room don't even know what it's like to have a car if it doesn't have seatbelts. But I remember those days. We crawled everywhere. But you do that because you're protecting yourself. What do you do when you go outside and it's 95 degrees and you know you're going to be in the sun all day?
Sunscreen.
Why do you put that on? Protection. Oh, you mean you have to do something first before you're protected? What about those of you who have husbands or brothers that work in some kind of construction or pest control? Before they put something on something, what do they have to put on? Glasses or gloves. Why do they do that? To protect themselves against something. You're doing something to get the result of being protected. Guess where all these natural things found their source? Supernatural things, right? So if you want the peace of God in your life, you got to put on your sunscreen, you got to put on your goggles, you got to put on your spiritual seatbelt, and then peace will come. Amen? It's not like God's saying you have to this, and this. No, he's just saying if you do it in the natural, why wouldn't you do it in the spiritual? Amen? So peace protects two vital things in this passage. Peace protects your heart and your mind. Say heart and mind. And the reason why it protects these two specific things is, first of all, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, to keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the wellsprings of life. I wrote that in a version. I don't remember why I chose that version. But anyway, because I memorize a lot of things in King James or New King James. So then when I go to say something, I'm like, because it's like you memorize something. And so you're going against your memory. Okay, so peace protects your heart because out of it flows the springs of life. It's the source of life. So why is it important for peace to be there? Because it's your protector, right? How many of you would be totally fine if your cities did not protect your water? Just whatever, deer's walking in it, you know, debris gets in it, you turn on your faucet and a fish comes out. I mean, would you be okay with that?
No.
We would be outraged. How dare they not protect our water, right? Why don't we get outraged when we let stuff in our heart that shouldn't be there? Why do we let ourselves do that? Why do we let just whatever flows in and out, that's fine, no big deal. No, we need peace to be protecting our heart, because that is where life comes from inside of us. That's the source of our life. Our heart is the center of our being. It's our character and our moral compass. And if we're not fixed on the right thing, we're going to be off. Even if it's just a little bit. Has anybody ever built, you know, those things you get from IKEA or, you know, Walmart? They're like the do-it-yourself, put them together, bathroom organizers, right? And have you ever put it together and one little screw is just slightly off, but you know, it's not a big deal. I'll just use my electric drill and I'll just really get it in there and it'll all be great. But is it great?
No.
Because then somewhere further down the line, everything is a little bit off. And that thing that was supposed to be so beautiful in your bathroom is now at an angle. Or a door hangs slightly tilted, right? And for those of us that are like OCD, that bothers me. And it's like, I can't even go in there. I can't even look at it, right? Because just put the stinking thing up straight, right? It's important for us to get it right. Okay, it's important for us to make sure we are fixed on the right things and we don't get sloppy and just, it'll be okay. It's just this one time. It's just this one time. You know what? It's not just this one time. It's setting a standard for your life. And each time we do one time and one time and one time, we get more and more and more off. Right? And peace becomes less and less and less in our lives. And then we're like the disciples. Oh God, where are you? Why am I here? And he's thinking, well, you're the one with the drill. Right? It's our responsibility to make sure we are protecting the wellspring of our life. The second vital part that peace protects is our mind. Our mind is where our thoughts and our purposes are birthed. In Proverbs 16:9 in the NLT, the New Living Translation, it says, "The mind of a man plans his ways." If you're somewhere in your life and you're like, "How did I get here?" You might want to stop and ask yourself, "Where do my plans start?" In my mind. So if my mind is not fixed, do you see how important being fixed on the Word of God is? If my mind is not fixed on the Word, I'm going to end up someplace I'm not supposed to be. I have never been a good person for directions. I mean, I can remember things as far as like if I've been there, oh, I can get back. But I've never been really good about like on-ramps to freeways. It's been a struggle in my life, let's just say. And so I'll think I'm getting on the right on-ramp, and I'm going north instead of south, right? And sometimes that's a problem because sometimes it's miles until the next turnaround, right? There was one time in Bible college that I always drove back and forth to Bible college with a good family friend of ours, and he always made me drive behind, right? And I'm like, well, I can drive in front. I don't need you to lead me. It's Eugene. Good grief. We just go straight, right? I remember we had got off, and we'd gotten some gas in it doesn't matter. Anyway, one of the stops on the way, and we'd gotten gas, Woodland. We'd gotten gas, and we were getting back on, and I thought, ha, 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 it's my moment. It's my moment. I'm going to lead. And I just took off, right? I was like a shot in the dark. Shoom! And I was going down the freeway way too fast. Anyway, because I thought, I'm going to really make my mark, right? And I look in my rearview mirror, and I see him. And we had another friend of ours in the car with him, and he's got lights flashing, and he's waving, and I was like, what a jerk. I mean, like, for real? You can't handle that I can drive ahead, right? And I was so upset, and I put a little bit faster on the pedal, right, down the freeway. He pulls around me, and he's pointing me to pull over. I was like, I sped up even more, right? And then he comes around and he's like, now, over. And there was an exit, right? And so it was a rest stop. And I remember I got out and I was like, or I didn't get out, sorry. I pulled in and he jumps out of the car and runs around. I think it was my brother actually that was in the other person. And because one was on one side and one was on the other, and they're yelling at me, right? And I'm like, what in the world are they doing, right? Truckers were getting out of their trucks because they thought I was unsafe, right? That's how upset they were. And I rolled down my window. I was like, guys, what is the problem? I can lead. And he goes, that would be great if you were going the right direction. I was heading to Portland. Yeah. You know that rest stop that's over by Canby? That's how far I had gone. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I had driven all the way back there. Yeah. They were both outraged. And my brother was like, I told him, just let her go. She'll figure it out once in a while. And Jason was like, no, she won't. She won't. We got to get her to turn around. Anyway, so it's important to be going the right direction in our lives. Can you see what the problem is if we get that little bit off? What was the little bit off? I wanted to be first. I wanted to be first. I wanted to be in charge, right? And sometimes we get that way with the Lord. No, 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 I got this. I got this. I'll be in charge. I got this. I know what I'm doing. Vroom. And the Holy Spirit and the Lord are behind us going, flashing lights, pull over. You're going the wrong direction, right? So we have to make sure that our focus is on peace and we're fixed on the Word of God so that we can end up where we're supposed to end up. Amen? And this is, peace is our protector. It's our safety precaution. It's our safety precaution. Peace is meant to guard us. The last thing that we're going to look at today is peace has to be practiced. Peace has to be practiced. And the first thing we see, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 Peter 3. That's almost toward the end. Hebrews, James, John, and then Peter. Peter 3:11. 1 Peter 3:11. Not one too far. First Peter 3:11 says, let him turn from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Say, seek peace and pursue it. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Seek and peace kind of sound like similar words, but when you look up the definitions of them, to seek is like desperation. To search out by any method possible. Pursue is more of almost a romantic term, which means to proceed along, to cultivate something, to find something, to obtain something. So seek is when you've lost something that you need right now. And you are seeking after that thing with everything you got. It doesn't matter what you're supposed to do that day. It all gets put aside because you've got to find that thing, right? That's seek. Pursue is more along the lines of you're seeking it, but it's more along the lines of looking after something and desiring something. It's a pursuit, like a man would pursue a woman in a relationship, right? He's not seeking after her hopefully not, with any method possible, right? It's a pursue. It's almost like not a casual, but I lost the word. But it's more of you're interested in that thing and you want to find out more about it. That's pursuing. So we have seeking and pursuing. These are both action words, right? And so we know we wear peace. We know we are... peace is something that we eat as our fruit. We know it's our protector. We have to do something. But then there's this last piece, and this is the piece that's always hard for us, I think. It's working out. It's working out. So when you get on your treadmills or you get on your shoes to go do your workout for the day, I want you to think about peace. I am trying to get this extra weight off or keep this weight off and maintain what I have. And so when you're doing that, that reminds you, you need to maintain your peace. You've got to exercise your peace. Amen? And what do? We have to seek and pursue our peace. We have to seek and pursue our peace. Hebrews 12:14 has one more thing. And it says to strive for peace. That's a longing, to be feeding upon it, a longing after. So we have the seeking, and there are seasons in your life where you're going to seek peace, like everything else gets put aside, and that's what you focus on. You're going to obtain that peace. Other times it's a pursuing of, I just want to dig deeper in the Word. I want to find more out about peace for my life. And then there's going to come points in our lives where we're striving for peace, we're longing for it, and we want to feed upon the Word so that that peace is cultivated. That peace is exercised. What happens when we exercise? The excess leaves, and all we're left with is the muscle, right? Right? We get weaker, right, as we exercise? We get stronger as we exercise, right? And that's what we do. When we are exercising peace, we are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So when we stand, we're able to stand stronger and stand longer. How many people, when you first start out exercising, after you haven't done it for a while, don't raise your hand. I won't raise mine either. But when you're first exercising and your legs burn and you're like sucking air and you're only on two on the treadmill, right? It's like you got to work up to four, right? And then sometimes you get to four and then you don't do it for a couple weeks and you put the treadmill on four and you're like, right? Like, okay, back it back down, back it back down. Because whatever you're putting in to your exercise, whatever amount of energy, that's what you get back. Amen? So there are seasons in your life where you might just be totally in the Word. You're doing so good. Woo! Right? The devil comes up and tries to mess with you and you're like, nah. Right? He tries to tap you and he's like, tapping muscle. He ain't moving. Right? There's other times in our life when we're outside the Word and like Samson, the enemy comes and you're expecting to stand up and be firm, but you haven't been in the Word, and you haven't been fixed on God, and you haven't been seeking, and he goes like this, and you're like, ah! And you're on the ground. And you're like, what? Why do I see all this chub? Oh, well, I haven't been working out for about 4 weeks. Guess what? Your body just doesn't stay that way. Oh, Lord, I wish it would. Right? But if you're not exercising, guess what happens? It changes back into what you were trying to get out of, right? The same thing is with our peace spiritually. If we don't exercise, then we become weak. We don't want to be weak, right? We want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and that comes from having peace. So now, every day when you get up, you're going to have these four things in your mind. When you get up, you're going to put on your shoes and you're going to go, oh, I got peace on my shoes, peace on my feet. I'm going to be able to stand and stand and stand some more. Amen? When you eat, when you see fruit, you're going to be going, oh, I have the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those is peace. And I'm going to feed myself, and I'm going to remind myself of what the Word of God says and build myself up. The third thing you're going to do every time you put on your seatbelt, every time you put on sunscreen, every time you put on protective glasses, every time you put on hand sanitizer. I've ever thought about that for really, just for a second. Hand sanitizer, have you ever thought about that? I think people believe in hand sanitizer sometimes more than they believe in the Bible. You ever thought about that? You can touch all kinds of nastiness in the store, and you get your kids and you pump them all up and you're, okay, here's your food. Just because someone wrote on a bottle, 99% effective, right? But in this Word, there's truth here. And we go, I don't know if I believe that. I met a lot of people that are more secure in hand sanitizer than the Word. Amen. We aren't those people. We believe the word. But you do have to do things to protect yourself, right? And that means fixing your mind on the Lord. It's a safety precaution. If you want peace, you stop being anxious and give it to Jesus. Amen? And then the fourth thing, we need to be exercising. Every time you go out to walk, every time you lift up your 2-pound weights, because you got to start over again. Thank you, Jesus, for 2 pounds. I like 2 pounds. Wherever you're at, when you're exercising, you're reminding yourself, I can't just work out my body. I got to work out my spirit. And that means I need to be in the Word, challenging myself, doing devotions, doing studies, whatever it takes, because I'm going to seek peace and I'm going to pursue it. Because I don't want to live like I did before. I don't want to live like I did before this conference. I want it to be a new day, right? A new day. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing. When you exercise, even though it might hurt, it becomes addictive because you like that feeling. You know what it's like to get into a pair of size 10? I'm not there yet, but you know what it's like when you can get into that size that you want to be in? It feels good. Right? It feels really good. And you know, you feel better when you eat right. When you're eating the right stuff, you feel better, right? And when you're protecting yourself, you know, it's like, oh, let's go out and play. I'm protected. I'm good. I got my sunscreen on, right? Hey, you can have your sun, S-O-N, screen on. Get your sunscreen. Thank you, Lord. That was a good one. I like that. Have your sunscreen on when you go out into the world so it deflects all the evil and all the yuck. Oh, I got to write that down. Okay. Got to have your sunscreen on. And then the very last thing is our shoes. And if you don't remember anything else, I've been praying and told the Lord every time they put on their shoes, let them be reminded they walk in your peace, your wholeness, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this a little bit lighter and a little more fun, but very, very practical. God, I love that you made it so easy. What we wear, what we eat, what we do to protect ourselves, and exercising. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any easier. So, Father, I pray every time we do one of these things, moving forward, we're going to be reminded of the peace that we are supposed to be living in. And if at any point, Father, one of these are off, help us to get right back on track, so that we can walk in the sunscreen all the time, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for helping this to go deep inside of our hearts. And even though it's more practical and maybe not so much intenseness and anointed, it's still anointed because it's practical ways that we can walk out your peace. And I thank you, Father, for anointing each one of us today. Bless our lunch, Father. Bless the food to our bodies. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful afternoon. Thank you for all the calories on those little buntinis. They're teenies, Lord. They're teenies. We just thank you that they're not going to affect us this week. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing the rest of our day. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Woo! Did you like that? Was that fun? Yeah.